Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about a love like Jesus. Pastors and churches across South Florida are preaching the same message and declaring the same thing, that we need to love like Jesus. How many think that's a good thing for us to come together, for us to be speaking the same message? And I'm excited about the unity that God is doing in South Florida among pastors and churches. But there's a need for us to love like Jesus. It goes beyond words and formalities. This is the love that Jesus demonstrated when he came to earth. He served others. He laid down his life to redeem mankind. And Jesus challenged us to love in the same manner that he loved. So we continue our series today, Love Like Jesus. And if you've missed any of the messages, you can go back and listen to them on our website. Today I want to talk to you specifically about going from comfort to compassion. Say that with me, from comfort to compassion. That's what God wants to do. That's where God wants to take us, from comfort to compassion. It's not always comfortable what God asks us to do, but it will bring you to the realm of compassion. There was a story a little while back ago of a father that jumped off a cruise ship to save his daughter. And he left the safe zone, the comfort zone of what was going on that cruise ship, and he jumped out there because there was an urgency to rescue his daughter. Now, thank God that it turned out good. He was able to save her. Others were able to save him. But I want to tell you that Jesus, in the same way, left the comfort of heaven to come and rescue us. There was urgency attached. He went from comfort to compassion. In Luke 10:25, there's an expert of religious law that approaches Jesus, and he's asking him, how can someone inherit the kingdom of heaven? How can someone inherit eternal life? And so he asks Jesus, what does the law require? And Jesus responds by giving him the two greatest commandments. You probably know him. He said, love the Lord with everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the religious expert gives a follow-up question. Well, who exactly is my neighbor? And Jesus responds by telling him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'd like to read that for you today in Luke 10:30. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho when he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By a chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed on the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. The Levites and the priests just passed the man who was in desperate need. You see, in Jewish law, if you touch a body of someone who was dead, and this man was close to death or possibly dead, and in the religious law, if you touch somebody that was dead, you would be unclean for 7 days. You'd be unable to come to the temple. It would throw your life out of whack because you'd have to isolate yourself. Everybody remember isolating yourself for 7 days? And so In other words, the priest and the Levite, if they were to help the man, they could possibly have to quarantine themselves for 7 days. This would disrupt their life. So instead of helping the man, they ignored his hardship so that their life would be uninterrupted. They didn't help because it would have been a major inconvenience. Jesus, on the other hand, makes the Samaritan the hero. Now, the Samaritans were a mixed group of Jews and non-Jews who had a very poor reputation among the Jewish community. You could use racism as a word here. Jesus uses the word despised. So, needless to say, the relationship between Jews and Samaritans was very unfavorable. So while the Levite and priest were unwilling to disrupt their lives to care for the hurting man, the Samaritan was willing to be inconvenienced to help someone in need. Scripture tells us he bandages his wounds. He helps him to the inn. He gets him in the hotel. He pays his bill. He's paying for his stay and his recovery. The Samaritan was willing to make sacrifices and leave his comfort to help somebody that was hurting. So Jesus sums up this whole story and teaching with a question back to the expert of religious law. He asks, which of these three men was a neighbor to the man in need? And the expert answers, the one who showed mercy. So listen to this. The one who loves their neighbor is the one who shows mercy. We throw that terminology around a lot. Love your neighbor as yourself. But who is the one who really is a good neighbor? Who is the one who loves their neighbor as themselves? The one, Jesus said, who shows mercy. The one who is a good neighbor is the one willing to leave the comfort to embrace a life of compassion. So Jesus tells the religious person, go and do likewise. Go and show mercy. Go and show compassion, even when it disrupts your normal routine. Christ-like compassion will cost us our comfort. Christ-like compassion will make you uncomfortable sometimes. Christ-like compassion is sacrificial. It will cost you something. Christ-like compassion invites us to leave our comfort zone and show mercy. Around 300 AD, the church historian Eusebius tells us of how the early church would care for people who were sick and dying in the midst of a severe plague. And they had this reputation of compassion. And it spread throughout the city. Their reputation, it spread beyond the city, their reputation of compassion, of how they risked their own safety, they risked their own life to help those that were in need in a radical way. When we get outside of our comfort zone to help those that are broken and hurting around us, God will use those acts of kindness. God will use that radical love to spread the good news of Jesus. That's what happened in the early church, and that's what God is still doing today. That's what God wants to do through us. We are to be known as His disciples by our love. Can I say that love needs to be radical? That love needs to be sacrificial. That love needs to be full of compassion. Is the love that we have for our brothers and sisters a Christ-like love? Is the love that we have for the broken and the hurting of our world, is it Christ-like? Does it distinguish us as true Christians? What would you like to see God do through us in 2025? What would you like to see God do through you in 2025? How would you like God's radical kindness to show through you? God wants to move us from comfort to compassion. Is anybody willing to get out of your comfort zone to follow God into something new? To follow God in a radical expression of love towards others? What are some ways that we can move from comfort to compassion? Well, number one, we can give without expecting anything in return. This is how we can move from comfort to compassion. Give without expecting anything in return. You see, the Samaritan, he did not expect anything in return from the man that was beaten and bruised and robbed and left for dead. When we give up our time and we give up our resources, we should do so not looking to be repaid by man. Scripture says that God is the one that repays us. There's great good that is done when we help people and we bless people that cannot bless us back. Listen what happens to the person who gives to someone who cannot repay. Look, if you give to someone who can repay, then hopefully they're going to repay you. But if you give to somebody intentionally that cannot repay you, this is what Scripture says is going to happen in Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay them for their deeds. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay them. I love this promise because it encourages us to look for the broken, for those that are hurting, those that cannot repay us. That's where the blessing of the Lord is, where we help people that cannot help themselves. We help people that do not have the ability to repay us. So we remember that God is the one who sees our good works, and God is the one who rewards our good works. We don't look to man for it, but we look to God. So how can we move from comfort to compassion? Number one, we give without expecting anything in return. Number two, serve even when it disrupts your schedule. The Samaritan served even when it disrupted his business schedule. Even when it disrupted his personal schedule. The Good Samaritan had to postpone his plans or change his schedule to be able to meet the needs of this broken man. Sometimes, unfortunately, whether we realize it or not, we're prioritizing our schedule over showing mercy. Jesus was exposing that with the story of the Good Samaritan. That sometimes we prioritize our schedule over helping others. And I think sometimes our schedule and our rhythm of life can become an idol to us. We might not admit it, we might not see it, but we'd rather have routine than have mercy. The first two people that, by the way, were religious, they did a lot of the religious stuff that we do. They chose routine over mercy. But Jesus urges us to have mercy. He urges us to set our time aside, to be the neighbor that our world needs, that we need to be. And it's a challenge to us. The third way that we can show that we can move from comfort to compassion is to love those who are different from you. I was talking to some of the team members before as we were preparing for church, and I said, can we love the ones that look different than us or talk different than us? Or maybe they're come in and they're suspicious, or they come in and they're aggravated or agitated. Can we love them? Can you love those that are different? I'm not just talking about skin color or background ethnicity. Yeah, that's obvious. But can you love someone that's difficult? There you go. If God points somebody out, can you still love somebody even though they're difficult to get along. Their personality upsets you a little bit. The Samaritan loved the Jewish man who was different than him. It was very evident that many Samaritans were not friendly with Jews, and many Jews were not friendly with Samaritans. It's obvious as you read through the Gospels, as you look at that time period, this was commonplace. But in this story, Jesus highlights the fact that the Samaritan looks beyond the differences to show compassion. He looked beyond racial differences, religious differences, because there were religious differences, economic differences. There was definitely economic differences in that moment. This man had nothing. This good Samaritan was doing fine. He served the man that was broken. How can we move from comfort to compassion? God wants us to move from comfort to compassion. Give without expecting anything in return. Serve even when it disrupts your schedule. Love those who are different from you. The man the Good Samaritan helped was dying on the side of the road. The man that the Good Samaritan helped had fallen into difficult times. He'd been robbed. He'd been beat up. He was without hope. God wants us to be like the Good Samaritan, to move from comfort to compassion. So who around us right now is broken, is hurting? Who around us is in need that cannot repay us? Paul gives us a parallel of this man dying on the side of the road. And this is what he said in Ephesians 2. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Once you and I were dead because of our disobedience and our many sins. Paul says you were unable to save yourself from the consequences of sinful action. In this way, Jesus is like the Good Samaritan. He is in the role of the one who leaves his comfort to show compassion. Jesus was not religious. He was relational. He was not concerned about routine. He was concerned about redemption. Jesus left the comfort of heaven to enter the brokenness of our world and save us. He paid the ultimate price for us to be rescued from sin and brought back to life. My prayer is that each of us would be moved from comfort to compassion. And that God would continue to move us as a people from comfort to compassion. There are broken people, there are hurting people around us that God wants to highlight, that God wants to use us. But we have to move from comfort to compassion, to show the radical love of Jesus. What does that look like for you? What does that look like for you during the week? What does that look like for you this month? To show the radical love of Jesus and allow the radical love of Jesus to move you out of your comfort zone to become the hands and feet of Jesus, to become a good Samaritan, to love on your neighbor. How can we be radical? How can we love like Jesus? Let's pray together. God, I thank you. You are challenging us in this season to love like you. To get outside of the comfortable things. To get outside of the comfortable spaces and show compassion. Because compassion is the place where miracles happen. Compassion is the place that people are restored. Compassion is the place where people are rescued. God, let us be compassionate. like you. Send us to the rescue. Send us with hearts full of compassion. Send us with a radical love like Jesus. Stir us to move from comfort to compassion. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for that journey, teaching us to love like Jesus. And as our heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've kind of gotten disconnected. I've kind of drifted, but I want to reconnect with him. I know I need that. I know I need him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. 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 There's something so powerful, something so urgent about, yes, I want to get on track with Jesus. Yes, I need him in my life. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this with us. Jesus, thank you for your radical love that you died on the cross for my sins to redeem me. And I'm sorry for the times that I've missed it, the times I've sinned. Give me a fresh start. Apply your forgiveness to my life. And help me live a life that pleases the Father. Jesus, I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your strength. I want to live by your teachings. I want to recognize you as my Savior and King. Help me live a life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name, everybody said, come on, let's give God the highest praise today. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.